Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all our social media feeds, we say good morning, good evening, universe. I keep saying good morning. I'll have to get used to that. Good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Manuk there at the arena. I'm not giving a plug to the corporate entity that owns that arena for obvious reasons, but we're here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets 4-2 defeat at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens in this evening's action. The Jets, the first of two games against the Habs on this very short homestand. You know, gentlemen, sometimes hockey is an easy game to analyze, and when you have three horrific giveaways that lead to goals, it sometimes is no wonder that you end up losing, and one of those goals ends up being the game-winning goal in this contest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Jets obviously had a really good push there in the third period, and it looked like they might tie it up. But obviously, you know, Tyler Toffoli, I thought, was impressive all night long. And obviously, you know, there were no shortage of players that were impressing. Brendan Gallagher, Jesperi Kotkaniemi also, who obviously got the first goal. But you're right, Drew. I mean, tough night for Josh Morrissey, even though he picked up a couple assists tonight. You know, that giveaway, and then, you know, obviously Neil Pionk's giveaway, you know, which led to the game winner for Montreal. So, you know, just a very difficult night all around. And, you know, it was really the one period in the middle frame that, you know, really led to the Jets undoing, because in the third period, they were the better team. And, you know, I would argue in the first period, they were also the better team. So, you know, maybe lack of energy, as Ray Ferraro said on the broadcast, in that middle frame. And you might expect that coming off of a 5-game road trip, Dave. But yeah, just, you know, miscues really hurt them. And, you know, they were playing catch up the whole night. They, you know, go down 2-0, go down 3-1. And, you know, they made it interesting there after Kyle Connor popped in his second on the power play. But yeah, just, you know, not the best puck management on this night.
Yeah, I know. There's no question about it. You know, the start was excellent. You know, that's exactly what you would have wanted from your team. You know, you dominated. You looked fantastic, really, and you did everything but score a goal. You know, Carey Price playing in his 700th NHL game. It wasn't like the Jets didn't have their opportunities. I mean, they really did, especially, like I said, you know, that first second line were buzzing to open up the game. But then realistically, you know, you have that giveaway that you never like to see, leads to a goal, and then you're playing catch up for the rest of the game. Now, you know, this is a Jets team that we know can play catch up and not really have a problem, not have fall off. But, you know, Montreal seems to have their number a little bit this season.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, the Jets, to your point, you know, the first couple shifts of this game were sort of, you know, picking up where they left off after Saturday's game against the Leafs. Dominant first few minutes of the game, dominant first few shifts where the Habs were on their heels, and then just a breakdown by the Winnipeg Jets on the Andrew Copp play, where he tries to, you know, he tries to send it back, or he tries to bring it back to Derek Forbort. It gets deflected or rolls off his stick. Forbort, I thought, was a little indecisive on that play. I think if he's more decisive, and this isn't laying blame on him, this is just my observations, I thought that if he was more decisive, he gets to that loose puck first, but, you know, sort of caught between the rock and a hard place, he decides to, he's a little bit passive. It ends up obviously being the 3-on-1, basically. And as you saw there, the Habs open the lead and get the opening goal after the Jets really started the game well, you know, from my perspective.
No, absolutely, Drew. You're right. I mean, the first goal that Kotkaniemi scored, there was the indecisiveness, and on a few other occasions, like Neil Pionk's going back puck battle with Brendan Gallagher, right? And, you know, he has to know that he can't put the puck up the middle like that. And obviously, you know, we're not knocking on Pionk because he's been the Jets' best defenseman to this point in the season. But yeah, just, you know, a couple of miscues, three miscues, really. And, you know, the Habs capitalized. And, you know, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, and, you know, we know that they recently beat the Jets 7-1, but they've kind of been that forgotten team here in this North Division, right? Like, you've got Toronto, who's obviously in a slump right now. They're on a break. And then you've got the Jets, who are surging and, you know, very close to the Leafs now, only 4 points back with the games in hand. And then, of course, you've got the Oilers, who've been playing really well and are right up there with the Jets. But the Habs have kind of been, you know, that team that, you know, they were in a slump, and they got out of it, but they didn't completely get out of it. But they've got those players that can capitalize on the turnovers. And, you know, Josh Anderson, well, there's a lot of players we have to talk about. Josh Anderson, I really liked his game. And he's obviously, you know, a big part of this Habs team now. They gave him the big contract. I remember we were talking about that, you know, when we were still on 1290. And, you know, we all thought that that contract was, you know, a lot of money. But obviously, they liked what they saw. And so far this season, Josh Anderson's been great. And also, boys, we have to talk about Carey Price. I mean, what did he finish with? 34 saves, 35 saves. He was incredible, made a lot of big saves, especially in that third period. The second period was obviously a little quieter for him, you know, but he was excellent. And he's somebody we've talked about. I mean, he's not having the best season. Jake Allen has been better than Carey Price, but tonight he outplayed Hellebuck.
Not that Hellebuck played poorly. I mean, really, on I would say the three goals, the fourth goal obviously being the empty netter, but the three goals, I mean, he didn't really have a chance on either. And there are, you know, odd man rushes and breakdowns. I mean, it's a 3-on-0. Well, it's a 3-on-1.
The Toffoli goal, I was going to say, Drew, you have no chance on that one.
Yeah. And even the Kotkaniemi, the first goal, he doesn't really have much that he can do there either. It's a 2-on-1 at that point in time in tight. So, you know, it was just a bad night for players that are more reliable for the Winnipeg Jets typically. You know, Andrew Kopp doesn't typically give away the puck. That's not what he does. He's responsible. You know, Neil Pionk, I mean, I don't know what Neil Pionk was doing. I saw our old buddy Rick Ralph called it a Johnny Oduy, a free pizza. And he's right. We haven't seen many of those. Oh, certainly from Oduy. We haven't seen any of those from Neil Pionk very much. You know,
well, we should say, I mean, Brendan Gallagher did get a piece of that, right? Like, it was a stick check that clearly, you know, Neil Pionk didn't get everything. I don't know who he was trying to get, which forward he was trying to get the puck to, but, you know, Gallagher just getting a little bit on his stick kind of, you know, just stopped him up a little bit. And, you know, it just so happens, I mean, you throw that, Toffoli was right there. And then obviously he's taken out of the play by Gallagher. So Pionk doesn't even have a chance to get back into the play. But you're right. I mean, regardless, he shouldn't be putting the puck there.
No, he shouldn't be. And, you know, I thought the Montreal Canadiens were sharper than the Winnipeg Jets were tonight. I mean, the Jets obviously didn't generate anything, any goals 5-on-5. They got the two power play goals, which is, you know, certainly counts the same on the scoreboard. But Montreal had better sticks tonight than the Winnipeg Jets did. They were just a little sharper. I don't think the Jets were bad tonight. They just made more mistakes. And sometimes, as I said on the intro, making more mistakes, you know, you can sometimes just break a game down that simply, Dave. The team that makes fewer mistakes wins the game, and that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. And I think that's also one of those situations where you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, is, you know, like, to your point, how many times do you ever see Andrew Kopp make a mistake like that? How many times do you ever see, you know, some of these other players making those errors? And again, those errors lead to goals, and it's obviously not a good situation, but you have to kind of play the hand you're dealt. And if you have a team that has the firepower to get back in, but, you know, people say Carey Price was very good tonight.
And guys, I really liked what we saw out of Dubois, Ehlers, and Connor. And I realized, you know, that's a line we've been talking a lot about because, you know, since it's been formed, obviously, you know, they've had a lot of success, not necessarily, you know, as much as they'd like on the score sheet at even strength. And obviously Kyle Connor, just two complete rockets, but I really liked what that line could do. I mean, you can just see how much time and space they give each other out there. You know, Dubois, I thought, was really strong, and you could see him, you know, getting mixed up quite a bit. And also, one guy I think we have to talk about is Logan Stanley. I mean, he absolutely crushed Jake Evans. I saw on Twitter somebody mentioned this, and I agree. I think, you know, he probably should have been in concussion protocol. Like, Dave knows this. Stanley is a big man. Like, this is one of the bigger players in the entire league. Jake Evans is a really good hockey player, but Stanley got a lot of him there. And, you know, that was one of those hits where, you know, you wonder, like, is he seen straight after that, right? And, you know, not even that. Like, Logan Stanley had some good chances jumping up into the play, you know, some good point shots. So I thought him and Poolman looked really good.
I thought Logan Stanley was the best Jets defenseman, you know, all around tonight. To your point there, Ezzie, you don't expect any offense from Logan Stanley, certainly not at this point in his career. But to your point, he did jump up at a number of opportunities. He did try and make himself a little bit more active. And you see that he's playing with more confidence, because a confident player is the kind of player who finishes his check like he did against Jake Evans there. I mean, that's a guy who's now sort of harnessing his size and beginning to he's grown into his height and he's growing into his body, and you're seeing a player who is more confident and who, you know, look, if Logan Stanley, you know, is that third pairing physical force for a Winnipeg Jets team, on their defense, that's not so bad, because, you know, as physical as Pionk is, I mean, he's still, you know, not as big. He's still certainly not somebody you would think of as, for their, to quote Brian Burke, their truculence. But Logan Stanley, when you get a little bit, you know, when he gets a little bit of that edge and he gets a little bit of that meanness to his game, well, you can't knock him off the puck because he's 18 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly. And he ended up with just over 13 and a half minutes, boys. Four shots on net. I knew that he had at least a couple, but he was credited with four shots on net. And he's got a hard shot. I mean, Dave can tell you about that. It's a very hard shot. And yeah, he looked good out there. And I agree with what you said earlier, Drew. Like, yeah, the Jets lose this game 3-2. But it was one of those kind of games where you say, okay, it's a one-goal game that could have gone either way. It wasn't one of those, well, obviously the empty netter, but you know what I mean. It was essentially a one-goal game. Until Toffoli put that one into the empty net. But it was one of those games that was really up for grabs. Like, the Jets were pressing there. Once they had the extra attacker on the ice, you know, Paul Stastny had the tip that stands out to me, just the save that Carey Price makes. That was the Carey Price, you know, that we were used to seeing, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So overall, I think, you know, you don't like the turnovers in your own zone. Like, you don't like Josh Morrissey coughing up the puck there to Nick Suzuki. You obviously, you know, don't like the fact that, you know, Josh Morrissey had to take a penalty there on Brendan Gallagher, even though Hellebuck made the save on the penalty shot. I mean, there were some of those things where it's pretty clear, as Drew mentioned, like, these are mistakes that the coaching staff doesn't have to go to Neil Pionk or Josh Morrissey and tell them about those mistakes. Like, those guys will own it.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, you're obviously in the building. You were there watching it. I mean, exactly to your point, as these are, you know, what I would, those are typically good players who just had off nights and had, you know, a combination of bad decisions and good sticks from the opposition, Dave, that really led to a lot of the turnovers. I mean, you know, you saw it even, you know, how many times did we see DeMello? DeMello took the tumble at the offensive blue line and it led to a Montreal chance. And you saw Morrissey, I think, toe pick in the defensive corner. I mean, you're a little bit off and the Habs were a little bit sharper. And that's, I think, you know, the storyline at the end of tonight's contest, Dave.
Yeah, and I think this is a Montreal team that came in having lost two straight games in Calgary, and they were a team that knew that, you know, they needed to pick it up and play a much more complete game. And I think that's the one thing we're seeing, you know, quite a bit from the North Division is, you know, a lack of consistency. The Jets have managed to be consistent in the sense that they've not lost or won too many in a row with the, you know, which, again, we talk about all the time, is important because you want to bank those points. So, you know, again, like I said, they've managed to avoid these big, long losing streaks. You're going to expect, I would expect, you know, a much more focused Jets team on Wednesday night. I think one of the things, Drew, that you talked about, that Paul Maurice mentioned today in this press conference, was that idea of, you know, guys having an awareness of the mistakes they've made. He doesn't need to point out, to your point, you know, oh, you know, this happened in the corner, this happened there, because these guys are going to be cognizant of the mistakes that they've made. And to, you know, the point that, you know, as he was saying earlier, there's no question these guys have made mistakes, right? Like, you can tell, you know, in the game, like I said, Andrew Kopp doesn't need to have it pointed out to him what he did in the first period, right, that led to that first goal. These guys know the mistakes they made. And look, this is the best league in this is the best hockey in the world. And when you make a mistake, that's what this game is all about, is capitalizing on the error of the opposition. And in this instance, the Montreal Canadiens were able to capitalize on the errors made by the Winnipeg Jets and score goals and take the lead and hold on and win the game.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, it is a little simplistic, but sometimes it is just that simple. What I did notice from the Jets tonight, though, more physical team than you're used to seeing. I mean, we saw it, you know, obviously the Stanley hit on Evans that we talked about. I mean, when was the last time we saw sort of a three-forward scrum like we saw with Appleton and was it a Xavier Ouellette rolling around on the ice there for a little while there? I mean, the Dubois with Nick Suzuki, he was really manhandling him for a lot of the game. So I don't know if that's a sign of confidence. I think that's sort of what I would chalk it up to, is maybe a more confident Winnipeg Jets team, and they're beginning to get a little bit of a snarl to their game and maybe a little bit of a, admittedly, and we, you know, again, going back to the phrase I used on Saturday's post-game show, a little bit of bully ball, where maybe they're beginning to think that they can try and manhandle their opponents a little bit. Obviously, didn't work tonight on the scoreboard, but a more physical Jets team would be very interesting for me to see.
And it's interesting because I actually thought the Habs played, you know, a fairly physical game. You didn't have Ben Sherrod in the lineup. He's out, obviously, 6 to 8 weeks. Montreal announced that today. But I actually thought that, you know, you saw guys like Romanov. I thought Romanov was excellent. I mean, talk about, you know, an aggressive player. And he, Nick Ehlers, seemed to have quite the back and forth. So I actually thought that, you know, I agree with you. I think that the Jets tried to play a little more physically as well. But I actually thought that the Habs, you know, level of physicality was pretty on the same level as the Jets.
Yeah, and Romanov's a guy that obviously likes the physical game, Dave, and that was actually not a hit to the head. It actually, I think for some people on social media, I was thinking that, I mean, I'm just watching the game at home, but I think a lot of people thought that that might have been a hit to the head, but it actually
wasn't.
You're
talking about Romanov's hit on Ehlers.
On Ehlers, yeah. It was a clean hit. And obviously, you know, Ehlers is, we know, he's not the heaviest guy. Romanov's not the tallest guy either, but he's got some heaviness to his game and heaviness to his body. And I agree. I mean, you know, Drew mentioned the confidence. I also think, you guys, it has a lot to do with these teams have played each other a lot over the last, you know, 3 weeks, right? Like, what is it, five games over the last 3 weeks, five or six games, right? And we know that the Jets were completely owning the Canadians up until that 7-1 victory a week ago. But I think you know that these are two teams that most likely are going to be in the playoffs. Like, we've talked about it. Calgary's kind of sticking around. Vancouver's sticking around a little bit. But, you know, it's basically, you know, Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Montreal. And, you know, we'll see if, you know, Vancouver and Calgary can, you know, stick with the top four here. But I think, you know, these are two teams that, you know, don't like each other. And, you know, even though we didn't see any fighting, you know, there was definitely, you know, some chippiness out there. And, you know, I think, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, as someone who, you know, watches a lot of hockey, that, like, that's what I want to see. I want to see a little bit of detest between a couple of teams, a little bit of a rivalry here. So, I expect that to continue on Wednesday night, especially now that the Jets, you know, want to keep that, you know, they haven't lost two games in a row all year. They want to keep that going.
No question. And I don't know if it's a function of we're now onto the backside of the season, this being the halfway point. Actually, here's Jets head coach Paul Maurice. So we're going to bring in Jets head coach Paul Maurice here. Give me a second to set this all up, if you'll forgive me for 1 second here. And we'll bring in the Jets head coach. Chrome tab.
And we'll get going with Ken Weeb from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weber.
Well, what makes Montreal a team that can force turnovers at times? I mean, your group did a pretty good job as a whole, but they were able to force a few times to create.
Right, the three that are in their net, we've got them on our stick. They're quick and they got good sticks, right? So they don't pressure with a whole lot of physicality. They pressure with some quickness, and they knock an awful lot of pucks down. That part of that is hand skills, kind of players that they have. But we would think that we got to do more with the pucks that we had on our stick that ended up in our net.
We'll go next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, just in particular on that third goal near the end of the second, how did you see that play? I mean, you guys have the puck in their zone. I guess it takes a bad hop over Josh's stick. And then how did you see it from there?
Yeah, I mean, Neil's under a little bit of pressure, and I think we're reading that we're going to be able to clean that out. And I don't know if he saw something up the middle instead of the indirect, but Josh clearly read that he was going to be able to bypass their forwards and we'd have a pretty clean break, and clearly we didn't.
We'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead.
Paul, Logan Stanley lays that hit in, I believe, it was the second period. Are you, when you look at that again, are you worried about the NHL taking a look at that one?
No. No, that's good. That one's solid.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul, are you happy with the offensive zone pressure your team was able to apply tonight, or did you need more?
Yeah, I thought when we did have our opportunities, you know, we had a little more net presence on some, but we had some. We had an awful lot, as did they. Pucks to the net that were very dangerous that we missed the net in the second period with some point shots. So, you know, are pretty high-end scoring chances. But it was, you know what, Sean, it was just a tight game, right? There was broken plays, flurries to net at both ends, but not a tremendous amount of sustained ozone time. And that kind of the function of both teams, I think, competing pretty hard defensively.
We'll go back to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Well, your power play's been clicking quite a bit the last couple games. What have you seen from it specifically?
Just, you know, a little quicker, a little more time with each other. They're starting to get used to, you know, it's not just one play anymore, and we're starting to shoot the puck from the flanks. Our last four goals come from shots from the flanks, but we also get some real good, shot tips from Paul there in the middle. So they're starting to use their options, and, there's some confidence coming with it.
We'll go back to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Paul, Kyle Conrad said team needs to be better at 5-on-5. Is that just a function of playing this team that games look like that, or is there something more you need from your group?
Yeah, how many games you want to go back to assess that. I don't know what I haven't felt that. I mean, that was our best 5-on-5 game in Toronto. That we were real strong in that market. I mean, I didn't feel defensively we were in too big of trouble at any point tonight. I thought we were pretty solid with it.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Quick and to the point, there's Jets head coach Paul Maurice. You can sort of tell by
the reaction. Nice to see Mitch Clinton there as well.
Yeah, Mitchell jumped in there as I was switching the feeds back and forth. You're right. But, I think you could tell by Paul Maurice's reaction that it was sort of one of those games where the puck is on your stick, and normally you make the clean play, and Montreal was a quarter of a second quicker than your reaction time. And that's often what led to the turnovers and led to the result that we saw tonight. I don't foresee that this being, there wasn't enough here that was worrisome. There wasn't, the pace of the play was pretty even all the way through. If you look at the advanced numbers, I think it's pretty close to 50-50, which this Jets team often even wasn't at that. So, a lot here that is just sort of the bounce of the puck and away this kind of game goes when there's two teams that are relatively evenly matched.
Yeah, no, and you mentioned even a few times there, but it really was, right? Like, we talked about it right before we went to Paul Maurice. Like, this was a game in which the Jets had the ability to tie it up in the third period. And, the eye test and analytics both match up here. Like, the first period was won by the Jets. Second period was won by Montreal. Third period was won by the Jets, right? And so you say to yourself, well, why couldn't the Jets get a better result? Well, I mean, it was a combination of those turnovers. Like, Montreal just capitalized. Like, I know it's a cliche, but they really did. Those were really bad gaffes. And, maybe if Hellebuck makes a save on one of those, then it's a tie game and we have an extra period. But, this is a game that I think that when you look back on it, you're obviously going to say maybe, this was a missed opportunity and, it was just a bad 20 minutes that really, led to this. Kind of similar, guys, to the 7-1 victory, right? Like, what were their four goals in that second period? And obviously, the Jets, the second period has been, a little bit of a problem for them. But we know that, they have no problem coming back from a two-goal deficit. So, going back to, what we were talking about before, with, the power play really was, impressive. And, the Jets are basically at 50%, Dave, the last five or six games, I think they're 6-for-13 or 6-for-14. So close to 50%. So that's, something I think to take away from this game, a positive. And obviously, Scheifele, Wheeler, and Stastny had a great game. And, even though I think you would like to see some goals go in, obviously, you know, the goals came on the power play, but I think you like a lot of what happened here. I thought Mason Appleton had another strong game. Lowry, Kopp, and Appleton, obviously, aside from the turnover, was also very solid. I thought right after Kyle Connor got his first goal on the power play, they followed that up with a really strong shift. We know that, you know, they can cycle the puck and get in on the forecheck and everything like that. So, yeah, it's not a game that you're concerned about. Obviously, you know, it goes back to what we talked about before. You don't want to lose another one because you know you're going on a road trip and it's going to be out in the West Coast and you're going to have some tough games coming up. But you're not upset at all, Drew, with the way that you played. You played pretty well. There were some, you know, hiccups, some farts on the ice, and, you know, you have to clean that up. But it's not something that I think there's no pattern that we've seen that would lead you to indicate that this is going to happen again.
That's exactly it. This wasn't a pattern game where the Jets are, there's no warts. There's no worrying signs that this is that there was a lot here that could snowball. And Wednesday's game, though, it is important. I mean, this Montreal Canadiens team, for all the coaching changes and all the drama that are surrounding them, simply by virtue of the fact that they have 7 overtime losses, they are they're only 3 points behind the Winnipeg Jets now. So Wednesday's game is really an important contest because, you know, if the Jets were to lose on Wednesday as well, well, all of a sudden they're only a point ahead of the Montreal Canadiens, and then it's really, you know, the Habs, the Oilers, and the Jets are really battling for that second, third, and fourth spot there in the North Division. So Wednesday's game might be one of the more important games of the season so far, I would say. I try not to, I try not to use hyperbole too much, but when you're 3 points up on a Montreal Canadiens team and you have 4 more regulation wins than they do, or you have, then you really don't want to be that close to them by virtue of the fact that they have so many overtime defeats.
And again, it comes down to, has this Jets team, will they be able to continue what they've done so well this season? Which is, you know, and it's interesting, right? Because it's one thing Paul Maurice was asked about, I think, by Pierre LeBrun in his availability today about, you know, the North Division and you know, how they were able to. And Chris Johnson, who we had just on Saturday's program, was talking about that idea of, you know, the Jets being a juggernaut. But I think the one thing this team has managed to do well is not get too high and not get too low. So they win a game and it's business as usual. They lose a game, it's business as usual. You know, I mean, and you don't want to win. I mean, you don't want to lose games, obviously. But I think what it is that this team doesn't get too – they're not sitting there lamenting it. You know what I mean? Again, like I said, you have to be able to park it. You have to learn from the errors that you make in a game. And again, this team made errors, some uncharacteristic ones for sure that we saw tonight. So it's not an ideal situation. But again, I don't know that it's something that's really that worrying. I think that, you know, you saw a team – like I said, tried to get back into it, you know, had some success on the power play. But at the end of the day, like I said, you got a Montreal team that came in having lost 2 straight to Calgary. And, you know, I think they went 1-0-1 in Vancouver. So you've got a team in Montreal that, you know, they had a coaching change. That's not necessarily the bounce that you want. And you know, they that was after the 7-1 win over the Jets, right, in the last 4 games on the road. So they're at the end of a road trip themselves. They've got one more, obviously, here with Winnipeg. I think they go back home after that. But
yeah, they're at the end of the road trip on Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I think, Drew, to your point, though, I think this is just, you know, a team that's been able to handle anything. And again, they haven't really had to deal with adversity from the perspective of injuries or losing streaks. And I think a function of that is just, like I said, is managing to remain even keel and not allowing things to really impact them one way or the other.
Right. And at the end of the day, guys, like, you know, when you have a 2-goal deficit in the third period, regardless of how you got there, you're still going up against a really desperate team who's got Carey Price in net. And yes, Carey Price is not the, you know, the Price that he was when he was backstopping Canada at the Olympics. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, defend him here. There's no doubt that, you know, at times this year, he's been struggling. He hasn't been, you know, god awful, but, you know, he has had games, and we've seen it, you know, here in Winnipeg, where, you know, he just hasn't been good enough for them. And that's why maybe they've been playing Jake Allen a little bit more than they would like, but not tonight. I mean, Price was really solid in net. And again, like, when you go back to the way if the Jets kind of, you know, would have had a sleepy third period, then I'd be a little bit more worried about it. But you can't, I think, extrapolate tonight's loss and make it about more, right? Like, I see, like, some of the comments, and I realize, like, we're in the Jansen Harkins fan club, boys. Like, I'm pretty sure Dave started the Jansen Harkins fan club in the American Hockey League when he was still playing with the Moose. So yes, I mean, we would all like to see Harkins. Unfortunately, you've only got 12 forward spots, right? So the question becomes like, who are you taking out? And we know that, you know, Paul Maurice has been very hesitant to put him back in the lineup. And I realize, you know, Nate Thompson, I thought was actually really good tonight. You wonder, you know, there's a back-to-back coming, you know, there might be some tired bodies. I mean, if this is going to be the chance, then, you know, like, I would have no problem with it if Harkins goes in for either one of these games. But really, I don't necessarily think, you know, it was the play of the fourth line or anything like that that really, you know, led to tonight's loss. So I don't necessarily know that Paul Maurice is going to put Harkins in based on anything that happened tonight, if that makes sense.
Well, you talk about that, and it sort of goes back to Kevin Cheveldayoff's press conference from earlier today, where he talked about the sort of the internal maturation. And I have to assume he's talking about guys like Harkins and Gustafson, as potentially being options here as we get to the back half of the season. The problem is, you know, you have the general manager saying that, but the coach, you know, it would certainly be, he'd certainly be changing his spots, the Leopard changing his spots to all of a sudden, you know, start to use those guys consistently here in the back in the second half of the season, because that's just not the MO that we've seen from Paul Maurice for all these years, Dave.
No, I think you're right, Drew. And we've talked about that on the show, a number of times. This generally is a coach who defaults to veteran players. So while folks may want to see David Gustafson and Christian Vesalainen and Ville Heinola and Dylan Sandberg, and I can't tell you how many questions I'm getting about all the prospects who are playing with the Moose. Now, the Moose are on a bit of a break right now. They're both in the city, but the Moose have another 10 days. They're not playing till the 25th when Laval comes to town as part of this 17-game homestand. So they're resuming their practicing tomorrow. But, I mean, this is a Moose team that there's an opportunity, right, because the Jets – you know, that overlap that we talk about, if you're going to want guys to get called up, realistically, it would probably be tomorrow or Wednesday, because once the Jets go on the road, again, you're not really going to, you know, I know they made a paper transaction today. They put Burden on the taxi squad just because of they needed to have a requisite number of guys on the taxi squad. So that's just a paper transaction. But I think the truth is, like, we'll see what the Jets decide to do Wednesday, Thursday. They don't really need them if they're not going to put them in the lineup. And again, I've always been of the record, if you're gonna not play these guys, then don't bother throwing them on the taxi squad, because David Gustafson right now is having success. Christian Vesalainen is having success. All of these players, Ville Heinola having a lot of success. All these guys, like, I mean, I wrote about it in the last Moose game that, you know, on Saturday afternoon when they won. So you're right, Drew. I think the, you know, Jets general manager can help form a team, but he can't decide the lineup. That's really ultimately the coach's decision. And while he will say that there's the potential for, internal possibilities, I guess.
Yeah.
To me, that's more of realistically, that's David Gustafson as a forward, Christian Vesalainen as a forward, and Ville Heinola. Those are really the three players we're really talking about who are going to get that opportunity to potentially come up with the Jets and from the Moose to the Jets and fight for a spot. And that's really, to me, that's more if I, Kevin Cheveldayoff, I thought he actually was pretty open today. We'll probably talk more about his interview, his media availability on Saturday. But I actually thought he was more open than usual, more direct. And I think one of the things that I thought kind of came across was, it was almost as if that meant, you know, hey, if we're knocked out of the sweepstakes, you know, if the trade targets end up getting taken by the Bostons and Philadelphias and other teams, well, then we've still got pretty suitable options in the minors that can come up and challenge. But, you know, again, you know, they don't have a Matthias Ekholm in the minors. You know, they don't have those types of players yet. I mean, again, don't get me wrong, those guys will be there eventually, but right now they're not there.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's just another sort of wrinkle in this fascinating season. Lack of Jansen Harkins continues to be a hot button issue for a lot of people, especially because, you know, it was none other than Paul Maurice who, you know, at the end of the year last year, you know, basically outwardly declared Jansen Harkins an NHL player. He said that this is a guy who's an NHL regular, and then he's obviously changed his mind so far this season. I think people are perplexed by that, especially, you know, and he was good tonight. So I'm not, you know, taking anything away from their effort tonight, but especially that if you had said that, you know, I think when the Jets signed Nate Thompson, everybody sort of held their breath, like which young player is he going to take the spot of? And it turns out that in this instance, it appears to be Jansen Harkins.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that it's Nate Thompson that comes out of the lineup. Like, we know it's going to be one of Nate Thompson or Trevor Lewis, most likely. I don't think anybody thinks Matty Perreault is coming out of the lineup, especially the way he's been playing, right? But I agree with you, Drew. I mean, we thought, you know, Nate Thompson's going to be, you know, that kind of 13th forward, you know, maybe even on the taxi squad, right? And when you look at what Trevor Lewis has done, like, he's been solid on the penalty kill. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, he's not, you know, putting in goals every night. You don't expect that out of Lewis, especially when he's only playing 8 or 9 minutes. But, you know, it kind of goes back to what Dave said earlier. Like, it's not a question of, you know, Harkin's skill or that. I mean, I think a lot of it is a function of how healthy they are. Dave touched on that. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a good chance on this West Coast trip, you are going to see Harkins just because of the amount of games and the condensed month that we've seen, right? Like, it's obviously the entire year is condensed, but especially, you know, with these 17 games here in the month of March, I wouldn't be surprised. So it's got to be frustrating. What's it been, 3.5 weeks now, almost a month for Harkins? So obviously he's not happy about that, but you know that he's going to continue to work hard in practice and hopefully he gets his shot. But again, it goes back to what I said before, guys. I don't think that, you know, the fourth line, I thought they were good. I'm going to say they were good tonight. They were solid.
They were you know, they weren't positive. I mean, yeah, Nate Thompson, 64.3% Corsi 4, yeah. Trevor Lewis, 53.9%, and Matthew Perreault, 53.33%. So that is what you want from your fourth right. line.
You want some good minutes. You want them to keep the puck in the other team's end. You want them to generate a little bit of offense. You know, have an energetic effect on the game is what I would say. And it's not a comparison here. You can't compare Jansen Harkins to Trevor Lewis or Nate Thompson, because we're all going to go with Jansen Harkins here based on youth, based on skill level, everything like that. It's a decision made by the coaching staff. And until Paul Maurice decides that he'd rather have Harkins in the lineup than either, you know, Lewis or Thompson, it's not going to happen. Or obviously if there's an injury, but we don't hope that that happens. It obviously could happen. The Jets have been very lucky as opposed to last year, boys, but, if you looked around the NHL, you're going to have a lot of teams that have players that I think they would like to get into the lineup for those teams that are healthy. And here in Winnipeg, it's Harkins. It's unfortunate. And like I said, hopefully he gets into the lineup soon.
Who plays net for the Jets on Wednesday night, Dave? That's the last question. Then we'll wrap up the post-game show. Reminder to everybody that they can check. Post-game coverage continues. Our buddy Ken Wiebe and Sean Reynolds, the Kenny and Rennie post-game show, that'll be starting up momentarily if it hasn't already started. So we encourage everyone to head over to their YouTube feed. You can find it on their social media. So when we're done, head over there and you can keep the post-game conversation going. Who starts in goal for the Winnipeg Jets on Wednesday? It's a back-to-back Wednesday. Thursday, do you go Hellebuck on Wednesday, Brassois on Thursday, or do you go the opposite way?
It's a good question. I mean, Paul Maurice, you know, as he talked about in the last week, felt that he needed to run with Hellebuck after the strong game against Toronto in the first game. Then he ran and they went back to Hellebuck, and then he finished with Brassois. You know, it's a good question. I mean, Brassois has been very good as a backup. So, I mean, to me, maybe you give Hellebuck a little rest because you know you're going to have some. You know, he's really going to be called upon. And again, like I said, I think he was hung out a little bit to dry in tonight's game for a few of those turnovers. I mean, defending against 3-on-1s, 3-on-0s, not exactly easy situations for a goaltender to ask him to come up with. I mean, made a, you know, stops the first penalty shot we've seen of on the Jets this season. So, you know, again, I don't think you're going to lay the game at Connor Hellebuck's. I mean, he got lucky, though. He did get, I would say, probably at least, what, half a dozen posts? Or crossbars today. So, I mean, he did get lucky in that instance. But to me, I don't know that I would lay tonight's game on him. I would just say that. So I don't think you can really go wrong with either one. I think if Connor Hellebuck says, as your number one goaltender, he wants to go back in the net, you give him the net. And if Lauren Brassois wants, you know, if you feel that you want to give Hellebuck the night off, I think the team is going to be just as confident playing in front of Lauren Brassois as we saw, you know, in that game against Toronto on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there, Dave, about the rest. Like, just listening to you, because it's obviously 50-50, right? Like, so I'm almost kind of leaning towards Lauren Brassois gets the start on Wednesday, and then you go with, you know, Hellebuck against the big bad Oilers, right, on the road. So you know that Hellebuck's going to play a lot of game, a lot of games coming up, right? So I would probably lean towards Brassois, but hey, your guess is as good as mine.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I would think that, you know, I saw somebody saying that they thought it would be Hellebuck, and I think I tend to agree with them. Usually the backup goalie gets the second half of the back-to-back, and, you know, Hellebuck, you know, he's lost two in a row now to the Montreal Canadiens. I saw somebody else, one of the great commenters, also said that, you know, that maybe he's got that taste for revenge in his mouth, and that you, as a result, you might see him on Wednesday night. Wherever, whenever we know the answer, there's only one place to find it. That's, of course, on illegalcurve.com. We'll have plenty of post-game coverage, you know, later on the website, and of course tomorrow morning, bright and early with the morning papers. While you're still here in the room, remember, if you have not subscribed to the Illegal Curve channel on YouTube, do that. Smash that subscribe button, as Dave Minuk is pantomiming right now. Be sure to do that. You'll get alerted each and every time we go live with our post-game show here. We'll be back Wednesday night, of course, for more.
Should I check if John and Ken are done? I mean, I can take a look over there. I'll see if they're where they are.
If they're ready to go or not. Okay, you do that. I'll just keep stalling accordingly. Want to give a shout out, of course, to our sponsors: Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support these fine local businesses because they support the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. They make with their contributions, they make this a reality. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers, too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see LindenMarketDental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
Boston Pizza's here!
Dinner tonight is brought to you by Boston Pizza. When your family orders a BP meal deal, you can bundle up your favorite signature pizza, like the spicy pierogi, signature pasta like the jambalaya fettuccine, plus a fresh Caesar or garden salad, and receive more than $20 off in savings. You deserve a deal for the Boston Pizza you crave. Order curbside pickup or delivery today at bostonpizza.com.